Good morning, loved ones. We can rejoice that we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm clean. Sin was stained on me. Love running deep. But love was spilled on Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. God, how can it be? I'm ransomed and redeemed. I'm standing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. Not what I have done, oh, what God for me. All upon that tree. Oh, hallelujah, I'm clean. Your love has overcome. Your mercy is supreme. I'm dancing in your victory. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood.
Cross, you got me running out the grave. Hallelujah, here I come.
You took away,
yes, you took away my shame.
You nailed it to the cross,
yes, you nailed it to the cross.
You got me running out, the,
got
grave.
Me running out the grave.
Hallelujah,
so hallelujah, here I come.
Cause you took away my shame.
Washed in the blood, I've been made as new. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah.
That can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. Sing it out. I call you Jesus. I call you, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave.
Every time
I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name. every time I call your name.
Precious name of Jesus.
See that world dead.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Would you look to the person next to you and say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. I want to draw your attention real quick to our new community impact initiative. It's called Stock the Sleigh. And if you guys have heard of Christmas in July, we're not doing that. We're doing Christmas in August. And so November gets really, and December get really busy for us as a church. And so this way we're able to help out the families of the food pantry to be able to bring them gifts for their kids. So make sure you go out and say hello to Regan and Melanie and some gifts. Do not bring gifts from your garage. We are actually going to be in a new series kicking off today in the book of Colossians. And believe it or not, we're only going to get to the first 8 verses because it is packed full. It almost like trying to eat a Big Mac in one bite. All right. So we are going to get as much as we can into this. It is just crucial. And to know that actually the theme of Colossians is the supremacy of Christ. And there's a reason that that is the theme, and we're gonna learn actually about that as well. But first, I wanted to ask you, have you ever received good news and forgot to tell your face? Sure. Have you ever received good news and forgot to tell your face? So recently, we took our kids to the zoo, the LA Zoo, right? And so what we did is we woke them up and we're like, hey, we got some good news for you. And it was a Monday, so normally they would go to summer camp, and we said, no, you're not going to summer camp. We're gonna take you somewhere special. And they're getting all excited and they're getting their pants on, everything ready to go. We get in the car and we're set. And they're already naming stuff. Disneyland! No, we're not going to Disneyland. Knott's Berry Farm! Any theme park within 50 miles of here, they're naming. And so, no, we're not going there. So we drive up to the parking lot of the zoo. And I look behind me at the back of these two adorable children. And their faces look like this. Like the cross between a mugshot and something reeks in this car. And I said, guys, we're here. And I don't remember if it was said, but it might as well have been said, this is it. And so the first thing we do is we go in and I'm like, hey, we gotta take a picture. And you can imagine how the pictures turned out as we're standing there, Kimmy and I like this, and our children are trying to get one side of their face up to smile for this picture. You'd never be able to tell that this was good news for them by their actions. But at the same time, I wonder how many times we forget that the gospel is good news. And if we actually live like it's good news. So as we look today, this is what we're going to see. We're going to see that Paul is speaking to a group, a church, a small church in Colossae, and he's heard, and they've already heard and received the gospel. They've learned it from Epaphras, and we're going to talk about him, demonstrated genuine faith, bearing fruit, and he's going to write to encourage them, letting him know how he thanks God and prays for him. Now, Paul has never been to this church, which is interesting because usually he'll write to churches that he's been to or started, But he doesn't do that with this. So let me give you some context about Colossae. Colossae is this little town, and it's surrounded by different regions. In one region, you have a Greek influence. On one region, and within the city itself, you have a Jewish population, a legalistic Jewish population that's also starting to propose questions to this little church. And then you have Gnosticism that's always also creeping up from the south. And see, Gnosticism is the belief that matter is bad, matter is evil, and spirit is good. So you're gonna see Paul throughout the book, how he's going to be able to take matter, which is Christ in the flesh, and the Spirit of God, and put them together. That's the theme of Colossians, the supremacy of Christ. So what we're gonna see today is how the gospel can impact the church. Through faith, hope, love, and bearing fruit, and will challenge us, are we living our lives like we've received the good news or we've received bad news? So let me tell you a little bit more about Colossae. And then why don't you guys turn to Colossians 1. So the other thing about Colossae is that a guy named Epaphras, who's from Colossae, ends up spending some time with Paul in Ephesus, and in Ephesus is led to the Lord, goes back to his city of Colossae, and starts a church. Now, at this point, Colossians is actually one of the prison epistles. What this means is that Paul is under home arrest in Rome. Now, he's going to also introduce this letter with Timothy, but Epaphras is also thought to be in prison with Paul as well. A very good reason to not talk about good news is when your circumstances are bad, hard, or difficult, right? And what Paul's gonna do as we look through this is we're gonna see this amazing thing of how Paul just encourages this church over several things. So let's go to verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for the saints, because of the hope laid out for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Let's pray. God, as we dig into the first part, the introduction to Colossians, God, I just pray that you would open our eyes. Lord, I pray that we would receive whatever message you have for us. God, that you would draw us to yourself and that we would leave transformed by your word and pointing people to Jesus. We thank you for the gospel and we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we're going to go a little slow, church. So I apologize, but there's a reason, because it is so thick and rich with every word. So, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Let's stop. Paul, an apostle. So there are four requirements to actually be an apostle. An eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus, directly chosen by Jesus, signs and wonders, and a foundational role in the church. And Paul fulfills all of those, even though he wasn't a disciple, which is interesting because most disciples who walked with Jesus would be apostles. So Paul is already showing his authority, but he already has many things that he can be able to put notches on his belt. But what's the most interesting thing about Paul, who used to be Saul, is he used to persecute the church. So Paul would be the last person you would expect to be an apostle. The last person you would expect to be saved. If we look at Galatians 1:13, "For you've heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." 1 Timothy 1:15. "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." The foremost of sinners can be saved. Paul is a great example of God's grace. So let's continue in verse 1. "Of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother." Christ is the anointed one, is the meaning. In Hebrew, it would be the Messiah, which also means anointed one. What's fascinating is that in the Old Testament, they would actually anoint with oil priests and kings that would show their status. And yet, his name means anointed one. Jesus, Yeshua, save people from sin. The Lord is salvation. This whole book is going to be about the supremacy of Christ and identifies both who he is and the office that he holds. Then we go to "by the will of God." And what I would say is that Paul's conversion was not the path that Saul saw for himself. So the will of God plays a huge part in the life of Saul. And then we have Timothy who pops up. So why include Timothy? He wasn't in prison. He actually had, he would be one that would have had visitation rights to be able to come and go. But Timothy is the only person in the New Testament that is a recipient of letters and a co-sender of letters. Timothy has Paul as his spiritual father, but now he's addressing him as brother. Paul has been a mentor, a leader, and is passing the baton to Timothy. But the most amazing part that Paul includes Timothy is found in Philippians 2:19-24. You guys can read it later. But it talks about the character of Timothy. So you have Paul's authority with his position combined with Timothy's character. Let's go to verse 2. "To the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae." Now, it's not the saints and the faithful brothers. It's actually, they're the same. Same group. A saint is a person who's been set apart, holy, made holy by God through faith in Jesus Christ. In the Bible, saint is not a rank of a few elite believers. You are all saints. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So all believers are saints. Why? Because all believers are in Christ. Faithful. They remain faithful, especially with all of the different doctrines that are coming and protruding their city and their church. So let's recap so far. So this is what we know. We have that they're known as saints, faithful, which is also trustworthy, or in the Greek, execution of commands, brothers, so familial, and in Christ. With Christ, by Christ, he's established their identity. Now, in Christ, this is important verbiage for those cultures that are around him, or around this church, especially the Gnostics. They're going to continue, Paul is going to continue to point them to the supremacy of Christ. J. Vernon McGee is a theologian, and he said, notice that they are in Christ, but they are of Colossae. The most important question is not where are you at, but who are you in? So up to this point, we have Paul's authority, Timothy's character, Christ Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the holiness of the saints, faithfulness, and we are getting a picture of aspects of the gospel. Let's look at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. You're thinking, Kelly, this has got to be in so many books. How in the world could we take so long to focus on just this little phrase right here? Grace and peace. This is the foundation of the gospel. Grace and peace. One of Paul's favorite phrases, the term grace would resonate with the Gentiles. The term peace would resonate with the Jewish population. He is essentially joining together two backgrounds under the banner of God our Father. Peace follows our understanding and experience of grace. Grace and peace originate from the Father. Let's go to verse 3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. So the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that we are his children. He is the only one who gives grace. He is the originator of grace. And then Paul's intentional model of thanksgiving, encouragement, and prayer for this church. Imagine if the church tried to encourage too much. Imagine if the church tried to give thanks to one another for too much. Imagine if the church prayed too much. It'd be on fire. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, so there's a conviction of truth with that faith. Faith is the substance of what's hoped for, which gets us to our overarching question. How can the gospel impact the church? Well, first, faith in Christ Jesus is known. And if we go back to 4, we also see, and the love that you have for all the saints. So secondly, we're going to see that love for the saints, love for one another, show how the gospel can impact the church. The focus is to point them back to the gospel. So let's go back to verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for the saints, because, that's a ground clause, of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So how can the gospel impact the church? Hope is heaven bound. And it's obvious. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. The gospel must point to Jesus. He's the main character, and we are merely the recipients. The good news is not just that we're saved from what we deserved, but we are reconciled and reunited in eternity with our Father. No longer separated by sin because of the gospel. That's good news. C.S. Lewis said, a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of those things a Christian is meant to do. If the gospel is only about us, it's not the gospel. If the gospel is only about us, it's not the gospel. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Paul says, any gospel that shifts the focus away from Christ's finished work is another gospel and is accursed. So let's define it. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the scriptures. The focus is Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection accomplished for us, but not about us as the main subject. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So if there is a road to salvation, we see this in Romans, that everyone has sinned, the consequence is death. God provided the solution through Jesus. We receive salvation by faith, and anyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So who does the gospel point to? It points to Jesus. But the gospel doesn't stop at that point with good news. Here's some more. We are reconciled through Jesus. God sends his son as a substitutionary atonement. Romans 5, 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. That's good news. Romans 8, 3. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. That is good news. But there's more. There's a forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, 7, in him we have redemption through his blood for forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1, 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Church, that is good news. But it doesn't stop there. He provides eternal life with him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting. Depending on which version you memorized, right? Eternal life. See, the gospel is not certain things that, okay, so now my life is going to be easier. Now my life is going to have, or I can have spiritual accolades or anything like that. The gospel is to remind us of what Jesus did. Jesus was the bridge to be able to take us from a position where God is holy and set apart, and sin could not be in communion with humanity. So with Jesus provided reconciliation and a bridge that hopefully this looks like a cross. Through the cross, through the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the promise to return, and the promise that you and I will spend eternity with our Father. So bottom line, if the message is mainly about my fulfillment, my breakthrough, my best life, my spiritual achievements, it has ceased to be the gospel. The real gospel is about Jesus, his cross, his resurrection, and his lordship, and we are the joyful recipients, not the central characters. So if your story points more to you than to Jesus, that's the fruit that you will produce. If when sharing my story, it's pointing more to me or bringing me glory, that's not the gospel. The gospel is bringing glory to Christ for what he did. And now what we have because of what he did. Verse 6, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. There is truth and grace in the gospel, and it's bearing fruit and increasing. So lastly, how can the gospel impact the church? It produces fruit. Verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. You know, this is the only time in Colossians that the Holy Spirit is mentioned, right here. And this is huge. Your love in the Spirit. Now, if we go back through the entire text, this is what we're going to see. The gospel is rooted in grace and in truth. The gospel awakens hope. With that hope awakened, we then are able to put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit dwells within us. It is impossible to bear fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit. So therefore, in faith, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within me, and then that begins to produce fruit. The biggest fruit that God is known for of his character, the fruit that is always mentioned first is what? Love. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Which leads us to the big idea. The gospel produces fruit and promises the presence of God forever. The gospel produces fruit and promises the presence of God forever. The gospel produces fruit and promises the presence of God forever. Are we testifying of God's grace? Are we ready to give a reason for the hope that we have? Or do people even know? Something that I'm still processing and hope you'll process this week is that the gospel produces fruit and the presence of God forever. And what I'm processing is, am I living the gospel? Am I living like I've heard good news? Am I living like I've heard bad news and forgot to tell my face? And here's what's even scarier. What would happen if you asked my neighbors? What would they say? What if you asked really close friends of mine? What would they say? Here's where it gets really convicting. What if you asked my kids? Do they see me living out the gospel? What if you asked my wife? Am I living out the gospel? Am I living like I have good news? Are you living like you have good news? I remember when I proposed to my wife, I had a ring in my pocket the whole time. And I had this whole elaborate day planned. And as this ring is in my pocket, I'm just so excited. I couldn't tell anybody though. And then I finally proposed. I kept it a secret. It was so hard. And then we got married. She gave me this ring that reminds me of our commitment to each other. But I wonder if I'm keeping the gospel in my pocket just like that ring. I'm excited about it, but there's no visible sign that it's a part of who I am. There's no visible sign of my commitment, of my devotion, of my love. He loves you. He sent his only son to die on our behalf so that we could have eternity with him, church. That is such great news. But do we live it? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today, a time to be able to reflect on your goodness. And Lord, to look at a church that was known for their love, that was known for their faith, and to look at the man who wrote them this letter, who was in prison. God, reminding us that what we think is a bad day or a horrible circumstance is only temporary, Lord. But God, Paul kept his eyes on you, and he continued, even though it was a bad day, a bad time of being imprisoned for Christ, he continued to share the good news and lived the good news. So God, I just pray for each and every one of us. Lord, may it be completely obvious that of the wonderful, amazing grace, truth, love, patience, hope that you have instilled in us because of your gospel. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kelly. This morning we're going to be taking communion. And as we do so, we remember the greatest sacrifice that the world has ever made. In Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us that Jesus, though he was God, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Think about that for a minute. Jesus knew what was coming. It wasn't a surprise to him. He knew that there would be suffering and pain and betrayal. Yet he willingly took that upon himself because he loves us. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." He took the cup and he said, "This is my blood which is poured out for you." That's what we remember when we take communion, that Jesus gave himself for us. But there's something that we often overlook. There's another part of sacrifice that we sometimes forget. Jesus didn't sacrifice himself so that we could receive forgiveness and then just go on living our lives exactly the way we want to live. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." Notice the words, living sacrifice. Jesus was the sacrifice who died for us. We've been called to sacrifice our lives for him, to be a sacrifice that lives for him. What does that look like? Maybe it means I give up some of my time to help somebody in need. Maybe it means forgiving somebody that I would really rather stay angry with. Maybe it means being generous when I want to keep that money for myself because I got a vacation coming up. Maybe it means swallowing our pride and our plans because God's more important than what we want for our own lives. When we really understand what Jesus has done for us, sacrifice doesn't become something that we have to do. It becomes something that we want to do. We don't sacrifice in order to earn God's love. God already loves us. He proves that by giving himself for us. So today, this morning, as we take communion, remember two things. One, that Jesus sacrificed himself for us. Two, that because he sacrificed for us, we give our lives back to him. So my name is Eric Vineyard, and I'm one of the elders here at Camarillo Community Church. And this morning, we're taking communion together as a family, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus died for us. So in the next couple of songs, please come forward, friends, family, by yourself. We're a family together. Take the elements and just remember the sacrifice that Jesus had for us. If you can't come forward, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring the elements to you. Thank you.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus.
Sing that once again.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name. Praise the name of Jesus. one last time, praise the name of
my hope is firm foundation. He'll never Have a seat. Man, that was awesome. Hey, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe today's the day when you're ready to make that commitment to begin following him. And that can just start with a prayer in the quietness of your heart where you just thank Jesus for his sacrifice on the cross and accept it as payment for your sins. He stands ready to forgive you. And if you just need to receive that, and if you're ready to do that, you can do it with a prayer in your heart. If you have questions about that, there's people at the end of the service up front here who are ready to pray for you or answer questions. And the same, there's a tent on the patio you can go to as well. As you begin your life with Christ, we want to be part of that journey with you. So just let someone know if that's where you're at, and we can be part of that with you. Help get you a Bible if you don't have one, or answer any questions. All right. We're going to worship the Lord through giving. There's three ways to participate, as you can see on your screen. Whether it's go to campcc.net, click give. We have two offering boxes in the lobby if that's more convenient. And if you want a text to give, you can learn about that on the website, campcc.net, or you can scan that QR code, and it will open up your texting app and put the phone number in there, and you just type the word give in the amount you want to donate if that's more convenient for you. Wanted to say something really quick about the survey. We've been doing a survey talking about it. Many of you have completed it. We've received over 250 responses so far, which I think is pretty darn good considering. But if you haven't done it and you're still planning on it, we have till Wednesday and then we're closing that down. So if you can get that done, and you can go to campcc.net, there's a link on the top, or you could use a short code and scan the QR code. There's a million ways to get to it. If all that confuses you, just call me and I'll help you this week. Wanted to mention the initiative again. I know Kelly mentioned it, but this is something we do about three times a year where we just take an organization and we try to bless them, you know, beyond our normal ministry. And this time it's the food pantry, which is really about food and feeding people. And we feed about 200 families a week there, or help provide food for them. But a lot of them have children. And at Christmas time, as you can imagine, if you're not able to afford food, Christmas is probably pretty lean. So we try to provide gifts for that. I know it's maybe strange doing that in August, but like Kelly said, we get really busy and we're collecting turkeys and we're just doing so much else at that other time of year. We thought, you know what? Target sells toys all year round. And we could do it now, and we'll just store them, and at Christmas time, we'll have them ready to go. So if you want to participate in that, go to the table in the lobby, and they have, like, little tags. You grab one, it'll say, like, you know, 12-year-old girl or whatever, and you go buy a gift for that person. And you bring it back here, and that's it. Very easy. So if you want to participate in that, I would encourage you to. All right, would you all please stand for the send-off?
Hello, my name is Faith Elder, and I'm the Assistant Children's Ministry Director here at CAMCC.
And I'm Lyric Reed.
And Lyric is kind of like our Children's Director in training. She wants to be a Children's Ministry Director when she grows up. So we want to say, if this is your first time here, welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
I stole her line, sorry. And if it is your first time here, we would love for you to join us at the new to CAMCC tent out on the patio. We have a special gift for you. If it's your second time here, please go visit that tent as well. This week, we have the middle schoolers are going to middle school camp on Wednesday. So we are asking for you guys to just keep them in your prayers this week as they go off and they learn about God, make new and lasting friendships, as well as their safety while they're up there. And also, at the end of our service, we have our prayer team. They're already staged and ready to go for you. If any of you guys need prayer at the conclusion of the ceremony, please come on down and receive prayer from them. And go out and enjoy some coffee and donuts and have some fellowship time.
See you next week.
Camarillo! Hi, my name is Darius.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth.
Hi, my name is Henry.
And we are part of the CAMCC
High School Ministry.
If you are a guest today, welcome. Check out the new to CAMCC tent on the patio to receive a $5 Starbucks gift card on us.
If it's your second time, we're so glad to have you back. Make sure you pick up your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent as well.
Or if you're watching online, go to camcc.net/next steps to sign up.
If there's anything you need, please let us know. A Bible, have questions about CAMCC, or today you decided to follow Jesus, head over to the tent and let us celebrate with you. We are so glad you're here.
The month of August, stop the slave toy drive. For the month of August, we'll be collecting toys to distribute to our food pantry kids in December. Bring a brand new unwrapped toy on any Sunday in August to the table on the patio. If you need some toy ideas, we have a wish list available, or go to campcc.net/impact for more info.
Tuesday, August 4th, 6:30 p.m., Family Patio Worship Night. Join us for an outdoor unplugged worship night on the patio as we go vintage and bring back the 90s and early 2000s classics on the patio. After a time of worship with your family, stick around for ice cream toppings and fellowship. Bring lawn chairs for you and your family. For more info, connect with Michelle at campcc.net.
August 5th through 9th, middle school camp. You don't want to miss an unforgettable week. Kayaking, archery tag, high ropes, hiking, crazy group games, powerful worship, and God's Word. This is a week to grow in your faith, build friendships, and make memories that will last a lifetime. Register at campcc.net/middleschool for more info. Connect with Jacob at campcc.net.
August 22nd, men's breakfast, 8 to 10 a.m. Gentlemen, join us for some great food, fellowship, and an encouraging message. $15. Sign up at campcc.net/events or connect with Brandon at campcc.net.
Fall group signups. Signups begin August 23rd and launch the week of September 15th. This is a safe place to connect, share, pray, and study the Word of God together in just an 8-week commitment. If you are newer to CAMCC, try it out. There are a variety of choices from sermon-based to topical groups and even classes you can sign up for, including a marriage class, parenting class, and new believers study. Sign up for a group and childcare if needed at campcc.net/growthgroups or email Lisa at campcc.net.
Sunday, August 30th, Next Steps membership class, 12:30 to 2 p.m. One-time class to become a member of CAMCC. Find out what it means to be a member, meet the staff, Q&A, and enjoy free lunch. Childcare is available. Sign up before August 23rd at campcc.net/membership. For more info, connect with Jacob at campcc.net. If you need prayer, we have our prayer team up front willing to pray for you at the conclusion of the gathering. Again, we are so glad that you came here today.
Make sure you are following us on our socials.
And to stay in the loop of what is going on, or for more info on any of these events, go to campcc.net.